The following message was given by Brother Timothy Hong in the church in New York City, the Lord's Day, July 9th, 2017. The title of the message is Experiencing Christ as Our Life. Scripture verses are Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 26 through 27a.
Blah. How much we need you. Thank you, you are the head of the body. Oh, we honor you. We give you the first place. Oh, thank you, you are also in all of us. Thank you, you are our life. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we pray you will be expressed. You will be glorified. We consecrate ourselves and consecrate this meeting to you. To under your blood, to anoint each one of us. In your precious name we pray. Amen, saints. This past week, we continue to cover the book of Colossians. And we were on Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Right. And the main verse was chapter 3, verse 4. It mentioned that, if therefore you were raised together with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Let me continue. The key verse is verse 4. When Christ, our life, is manifested, then you also will be manifested with him in glory. So here we have a very clear statement mentioning Christ, our life. This phrase only in the Colossians is mentioned in this way. In other places, it mentioned, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And in other verses, you also mentioned that as many as receive him, referring to the Lord Jesus, to those who believe into his name, to them he gave authority to become the children of God. That means the children have received the Father's life. Therefore, they become the children of God. By receiving God's life, we are the children of God. Amen. So those are the verses related also in the context concerning that we, human beings, we can receive the life of God. Amen. You know, this is a big thing. that even human beings can become children of God. So thank the Lord for that. I really enjoy this phrase, Christ our life. You know, we have sent the hymn, I think 501. Christ is so much, right? He's this, he's that, he's everything. But here it says, Christ our life. Sometimes, you know, the parents, you know, many of us, we are parents. Some may be still not parents, not married yet. We say the parents, the best gift the parents can give a child, usually we say it's the education. Because whatever we gave the children, you know, physical or some things, material things, eventually it may not stay. But when we educate the child, you know, that goes along with the child. So I'm blessed that I went through the school years, and eventually I graduated from college and got my degree. That wasn't by myself. My parents provided. I know some, you know, you have paid your own tuition. You work hard to go through the school and get the education. But here, the biggest gift God gave us is life. Firstly, our human life, you know. In fact, our human life is just who we are, you know. I may be able to do many things, have many things, but once I don't have my life, my human life, everything is over. but the Bible tells us that we human beings, and yet we can receive the divine life. This life today is in every Christian, in every one of us. This is truly precious. In Colossians, I think some of the saints went through the verses, and also through the we have the also provided expanded version of the morning watch verses. It mentioned that in Colossians, in this book, it revealed that God gave us one person, that is Christ, and God gave us one way, that is the cross. And this one person, he is our life. He is our life. And he mentioned that we and the Christ, Christ, in fact, in us is our life. We and the Christ, we have one life, one position, and one living, one destiny, and one glory. They all related, in fact. You know, I'm standing here, I have the human life I'm living. Of course, I'm standing here, I have the divine life I'm also living in the divine life. So all of us, on one hand, we are human beings, we are here living, but on the other hand, we are gathering together not because we have the human life, even more because we have the divine life. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the body has life. And this life is the divine life. Of course, when Christ, when he became a man, he possessed both the human life and the divine life. And today, we are here. We are also possessing both the human life and the divine life. And God's desire is that we and Christ, that we will have one position, one life, and one living. You know, this is truly marvelous. We're human beings, and yet we can live by the divine life. And also one destiny. You know, all of us, we have the same destiny. We know some saints, you know, when they get saved, they will try, some of the Chinese-speaking saints, they will try to find out their future. We don't need to find out. Our destiny already made. God already gave us the same destiny as the Lord Jesus. So we have one life, one living, one destiny, and one glory. So praise the Lord for such a glorious future, of course, and a wonderful present that we can live by this divine life in our human life. So this is a really precious to see that in this book of Colossians, it revealed this matter that Christ our life. Of course, the verses brings out not just Christ as our life, but also experiencing Christ as our life. So today, we can experience this life, which this life, whom this person that we all have received. This morning, in fact, the one living is covered in Colossians chapter 1, chapter 3, in the other part of the verses we read, from 1 through 4. It mentioned about, if therefore you were raised together with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. This refers to our living, you know. All of us, doesn't matter whether we are students, whether we are housewives, or we are working, we are seeking something. But here it tells us that seek the things which are above, you know. That means, what are we seeking? Paul wants us to seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. And set your mind on the things which are above. You know, everyone, you know, our human living are mostly controlled by our mind. Maybe we're sitting here, we're thinking what to do in the afternoon. And that's, you know, that's our living. But the word reminds us, seek the things which are above and set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. That means not set on. It doesn't mean that we don't live a proper human life. It means that we have received the divine life, the eternal life. We should not set our mind on the temporary things, you know. Even some of the material things, they are temporary. Even the things we have. You know, this time when going, I brought my Ezekiel, a little Bible, Ezekiel with all the verses. And then I found that I could not find it. I think when I was on the airplane, I put it in the pocket. Then when I left it in the pocket. So it bothered me. I don't know whether it happened to you. What's that? That set the things on the things on the earth. So we all, you know, maybe you're sitting here, you're bothering by something. But those things, they are temporary. The Lord just remind me, those are temporary. If you lost it, what should you do? Worry about it? Cannot get rid of the feeling? No, we should set our mind on the things above. So here, the emphasis is not just Christ as alive, but also we have one living with Christ. You know, what is Christ doing today? The things above, right? Christ is in the heavens. Christ today in the heavens, he is doing three things. The first thing is he's our high priest. He's there interceding for us, you know, whether you know or not. Every one of us sitting here, Christ is interceding for you. Christ is interceding for me. And the second thing is Christ in the heaven. What is he doing there? He's a heavenly minister, ministering all the riches of himself into all of us. Did you enjoy the Lord's table? Why? Because Christ is ministering. You know, this is the Lord's table. It's not anybody's table. That table, the only host is Christ. We all were the invited guests. So what is he doing? On the one hand, he's in heaven. On the other hand, of course, he's in our midst. He's inside of us. He's ministering heaven into all of us. Amen. So that we can live a heavenly life on the earth. And the third thing he's doing now is he's on the throne administrating the whole universe to carry out his purpose. So today, all of us, under his ruling, his arrangements, we have saints visiting us. The Lord made arrangements. So all of us, all our environment, the Lord is not just, of course, he cares for us. But on the other hand, he is ministering, he is administrating the whole world situation to carry out his purpose. You know, these are the things the Lord is doing in the heavens, and we should join him, you know. Of course, we had a life training finished yesterday. So I came back last night. The meeting was very rich because the Lord wants his church, to enjoy all his riches. All the riches in the world, it should be open to us. It should be our portion, be enjoyed by us. So, concerning Christ as our life, is really precious. Of course, this Christ our life, last time when we went over this portion, it was 2010, last time. We enjoyed this part of the word. This part of the word mentioned that this life is not our, you mentioned that our life has been hidden with Christ in God. You know, so this life, of course, is not our natural life. It's there are three characteristics concerning this life, which is it's a crucified life, right? It's a resurrected life. And there's a third one. Anybody remember? Right. It's the life hidden in God. So, of course, our natural life, our sinful life, cannot be hidden in God. It's the life Christ lived is hidden in God. So this life today, for us to experience, we need to experience this life. It's a crucified life. You know, we are many things we go through during the day in our life. It's easy for us to react. You know, with husband and wife, parents and children. Quite often, when you react afterwards, you feel bad. You know why? Because you didn't live that crucified life. When Christ was on the earth, so many things, you know. He is the holy, he is divine. Of course, he has a human life. He lived as a man. He has feelings. But many times in the world, we realize he didn't react. You know, Pharisees, they came to tempt him, challenging him, try to stir him up. He lived a crucified life. No reactions. Of course, it doesn't mean that he doesn't have feeling, but he lived in his human life, the divine life. So today, we are the same. So we need, all of us, we need to learn to live a crucified life. Then afterwards, you will realize the resurrection life is there, you know. I think a lot of time in the when we come together with the saints, quite often, even in the small group meetings, home meetings, this situation will be manifested. If we live a crucified life, you meet the saints in the small group meetings, and you realize there's something flowing. That is the resurrection life. Even though you feel that, you know, you didn't express what you want to express, but you realize eventually the divine life is in us. The divine life is limiting us. The divine life, at the same time, he will come out in resurrection. And so praise the Lord for such a wonderful life inside of us. So we can live this life, and we can live by him and in our daily life. Okay, you may wonder why I put the, you know, we have the Ezekiel, the book, the verses in Ezekiel. That's the verses on the on message 4. The title of that message, of course, is related to what we cover in Colossians. In Ezekiel, that portion of the verse, the two verses, or one and a half, it gave us a picture that the God we believe is the God of blessing. And the title of the subject of that message was the God of blessing and the blessing of God. And that was the message, yeah, New York got called. Of course, it didn't call the church in New York City, come up. The saints from New York City. He called the numbers, the city numbers. So we were up there. Okay, this message is very precious because even the brother share on this message, he said, he wondered, you know, if the book of Ezekiel, what are the subjects we should pick in order to fellowship in the training? He said, he will not pick this subject. The God of blessing and the blessing of God. He said there should be other subjects more heavier, or, you know, more weighty. But there is such a crystal in the book of Ezekiel concerning God is the God of blessing. And there is the blessing of God. In maybe we can read 26 again. And I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing. And I will cause the showers to come down in this season. There will be showers of blessing. Okay, this verse doesn't show the whole picture because we have to read from chapter 34, verses 1 through 25. Before that, it mentioned that the children of Israel, they were like the sheep. And the Lord, we have to read, I don't have time to read the whole thing. And the Lord is the shepherd, and he said he will search, he will find the sheep, his sheep, and he will shepherd them. And he will bring them to the pasture, and he will also bring them to the mountains for their dwelling. And the whole picture was God's shepherding. And God's shepherding causes us to enjoy. He brings us into the enjoyment of his blessing, you know, including the showers of blessing. At that time, all the produce depends on the rain. So the showers are a blessing from God. The picture there was that when God's people is shepherded by God, enjoying his blessing, eventually they themselves will become a blessing to even to the people around us. Imagine even the places around my hill a blessing. So God's blessing is so much for us, and even overflow through us, cause us to become a source of blessing. So the message was concerning God of blessing and the blessing of God. And there are many portions. I listed some of the portions. Maybe we can read, maybe just follow these verses, the sequence. Let's read Genesis 1, 26 to 28. And God said, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. We may pay attention to God's blessing to multiply. In fact, this verse, this few verses, shows us God is waiting to pour out blessing, but there's no suitable person or environment allow him to pour out his blessing. So only when man was created, and God poured out his blessing, because he found the vessel. He found a group of people that can receive his blessing. So today, God has, he's the God of blessing. He wants to bless. But are we the people open to receive his blessing? In creation, man created was in his image and to have his authority. And these are, this created man, they are the vessel to receive God's blessing. That's why God blessed man right away after he created man. So this is a picture in Genesis. Of course, we see very clearly man eventually, because of fall, man was could not stay in God's presence. And in fact, curse came, you know. So God's original intention was for man to receive his blessing. Then what is the blessing? We all think, you know, material thing, this, that. In fact, the blessing God wants to give to man is just God himself. Amen. That's why God created man. God put man in front of the tree of life. The tree of life is just God himself. So for us to read, Christ our life, that's a big blessing. But, you know, when we read it, when I read it pretty common. I think, you know, okay, God wants to be my life. In fact, that is the biggest blessing we human beings can receive. And that is God's intention for us all to receive his life and to live by this life and to express this life and to grow in this life. You know, we send a hymn, right? The Lord is this, is that. You know, the Lord is so much to us. The big best blessing, in fact, are not those things. Of course, we need things to sustain us. The biggest blessing is God himself comes into us to be our life. That life is the blessing. That life is God himself. Okay, let's read some verses in Numbers. Let's read together. Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the children of Israel. You shall say to them, Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the children of Israel, that I myself may bless them. In these few verses, it mentions a lot of bless, right? Bless. We all know in the Old Testament, God's blessings are physical. You know, God gave them the good land, the land flowing with milk and honey. You know, they have barley, they have wheat, they have grapes, olives, you know, pomegranates. There was so much blessing, right? They're all physical. But what kind of blessings here? The Lord told Aaron and his son to bless the children of Israel. Jehovah bless you and keep you. What kind of blessing is that? The Bible has Old Testament and New Testament. Is this Old Testament blessing or New Testament blessing? Huh? Both. See, if you say both, you will not be wrong, right? Because this verse is in Old Testament, so it's Old Testament blessing. But is it physical? No. No, it's not physical, so it's New Testament. Right. So Old Testament, New Testament, in fact, the brothers said, right, it's eternal blessing. Eternal blessing is God himself bless us and keep us. Eternal blessing is he make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. Sitting here, did you feel God is keeping you? Did you feel God is blessing you? He is. What kind of blessing is that? That's foretaste of the eternal blessing. And he also mentioned God lift up his face, lift up his countenance upon you. I think the kids come home. If the mother's face is like this, I think the kids will not be so happy, right? They realize something is wrong. Maybe the mother is bothered by something. Today, our God, this morning, did you feel his face is like this or his face is like this? I think he's lifting up his face on all of us. And this is blessing. You know, why we Christians are happy? Because God is happy. God is happy with us. So his face is shining. Our face is also shining. Okay, so these are the verses in the Old Testament in Numbers concerning the priests and they are blessing the God's people. Okay, let's continue. Read 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So here I mentioned grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In fact, here is very clear. The blessing is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son. The love of God is the Father. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit. In fact, these three correspond with the blessing in Numbers. Maybe we should go back and see. Jehovah bless you and keep you. This referring to the Father. Jehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. This referring to the sun. And Jehovah lift up his face upon you and give you peace. That refers to the spirit. So the picture is already there in the Old Testament that the triune God wants to bless his people. Okay, let's continue with Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly, in Christ, right. So here the blessing is a spiritual blessing. So usually we say in the New Testament, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. I don't know about others, but we are still very much looking at what the Lord can do us physically, right? In fact, the message mentioned, our Christian life should be a life of blessing. And our work should be under God's blessing. And we should care for God's blessing. Of course, God meets our every need. But quite often, all of us, you know, we pay too much attention concerning the physical side. That's really for the Old Testament, God's earthly people. You know, Abraham has two descendants. One is his descendants will be like the sand of the seashore, and his descendants will be like, also like the stars of heaven. Today, we are not the land, the sand of the seashore. These are Christians. These are the Jews. They are God's earthly people. Today, we Christians are the stars of heaven. We are the heavenly people. That's why in Ephesians, Paul mentioned, God the Father, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. So we are really need to, through the word, renew our mind, that we will care more for the heavenly spiritual blessing in Christ. What are the spiritual blessings in Christ? In Ephesians, he mentioned, right after verse 3, he mentioned in verse 4, he chose us, you know, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy before him in love. And if you read on, the blessing, he has the Father's blessing, making us sons, making us holy. There's a son's blessing in his redemption, in making us his inheritance. And there are also the spiritual's, the Spirit's blessing in sealing us, pledging us. So all these are the heavenly blessings. So we should care for the divine life we have received. We should care for the divine nature we have received. And we should care for the sonship, you know. We are God's children, and we should care for, there are many other items that the Lord has leading us into glory. The Lord is transforming us. These are spiritual blessings. These are heavenly blessings. So we should care for that. Okay, let's continue with Galatians 3:14. In order that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Here, you know, God promised Abraham when God called him out, he will lead him to a land, and that was a physical land. You know, of course, eventually Noah only he saw the land, but he didn't get it. Eventually, the children of Israel, they went to Egypt. God has to bring them out of the land of Egypt and eventually lead them into the good land. So that good land was what God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they all died in faith. That means they didn't physically receive that good land. God also promised Abraham that he will have a seed, which is referring to Isaac, eventually. But the Bible, in its fulfillment, said in Galatians 3:14, the blessing God gave to Abraham eventually was the Spirit. The Spirit, of course, the Lord Jesus, in his resurrection, he became the Spirit. So the Spirit is the fulfillment of the type of the good land. It's also the fulfillment of the seed. So eventually, the blessing, in fact, is just the Spirit. And the eventual Spirit we all receive. And this is God's blessing to us. So we see this is very, very striking, that eventually the Spirit is the blessing. So what we have received, the Spirit, the life-giving Spirit, is the blessing, the fulfillment of the blessing God promised to Abraham. Okay, let's read the last verse. And in Psalm 23:5, you spread a table before me in the presence of my adversaries. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Finish up 1 Corinthians 10:15-16. The cup of blessing which we bless is not the fellowship of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the fellowship of the body of Christ? So it shows that God gave us a blessing in the form of a cup. You know, what we had, you know, we say the Lord's table meeting. The table has the bread, the table has the cup. Why it's not a bowl, you know? Why is a small cup passing on, eventually even smaller, right? It's because God is a God of blessing. He is unlimited. But what we can enjoy is very limited. So that's why the cup is a blessing passed on to all of us. We all can have a part. We all have a portion. So praise the Lord for the God of blessing. And praise the Lord for the blessing he has bestowed upon us. That is just himself. That's just the divine life. So this life, we should live this life. We should minister this life to one another. You know, life is for a purpose. Life is not just for itself. Life is for a purpose, for God's purpose. So when we live by this life, and the Lord will have his body. You know, the book of John is on life and building. So life and building, Christ and the church, they are the, you know, two sets, means the same thing. Okay, I'll stop here. Amen.
I would just like to make a test. We're in the midst of video training. Could we have again Colossians 3:1-4? And I'll ask a question. Okay. First of all, in verse 1, if therefore you were raised together with Christ, if we were raised means we must have died, right? Then verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Simple question. When did we die? Can anyone tell me? What? One of the verses we had this week was very helpful to me. And that is Romans chapter 6, verse 3, that says, or are you ignorant that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? So forget about all kinds of doctrines. When Satan tempts you in your flesh, you see something, tell Satan, Satan, I died in my baptism. And maybe if you have a good memory, on such and such a day, on such and such a place, we died, right? Then, in verse 4, we have been buried therefore with him through baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so also we might walk in newness of life. Now, our thought is, just as Christ was raised from the dead, we think that will be when the Lord comes back. Never mind. We died and we have been raised in his baptism. And we had verses telling us about the heavenlies, and we had verses this week in Ephesians telling we're seated in the heavenlies with Christ. How could that be, right? Well, another verse that could help us is in Ephesians chapter 1, which we also had this week, at the end of chapter 1, verse 22. And he subjected all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. To the church. Doesn't say in the church or any other word. To the church means a transmission. So saints, don't be worried about how can Christ be my life? If we're dead and we're resurrected, surely we're resurrected in his life. But still, you might say, well, but how can I enjoy this life? It's just like the lights in the meeting hall. You press the switch, the light goes on. When you turn to the Lord, you call on his name. There is a transmission of the life of God. So remember, saints, we have died, we have been raised, and we can have a transmission. Amen. Amen.